Support for this KQED podcast comes from Stanford Blood Center. Stanford Blood Center is a proud supporter of KQED and encourages you to support local patients by donating blood. Learn more at bloodcenter.stanford.edu.
Good morning. I'm Queenie Kim, and this is the California Report. More than 6 million workers will start earning paid sick leave starting today. With some exemptions, employees in California who've worked at least 30 days can earn a minimum of 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. It's one of several laws that's taking effect today, which is the start of the state's new fiscal year. Among them, a law that regulates hydraulic fracking, in part by making oil companies disclose what chemicals they're using. Also starting today, smartphones sold in California will come with kill switches. So if your phone is stolen, you can flip the switch and make it inoperable. Governor Jerry Brown signed a controversial vaccine bill into law yesterday. It's one of the strictest in the nation. Under the new law, parents can no longer opt out of vaccinating their children for religious or personal reasons if they attend public or private schools. But opponents are already gearing up for a legal fight. The California Report's health reporter April Domboski explains.
Starting next summer, schools will screen children entering kindergarten and seventh grade. Except for medical reasons, any child who is not fully vaccinated will not be allowed in school. Opponents believe this is unconstitutional.
The California state constitution guarantees a free and public education for every child.
Christina Hildebrand is with the nonprofit group A Voice for Choice. She says lawyers are lining up to help them file a lawsuit. But the bill's author, Senator Richard Pan, says the law has already been thoroughly vetted by numerous committees and attorneys.
I would say that the courts have repeatedly ruled that you don't have a right to spread a contagious disease.
Pan believes the law will withstand any attempt to overturn it at the ballot box, too. More than 90% of parents in California already vaccinate their kids, and a recent poll shows that 67% of adults believe unvaccinated kids should not attend public school. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
We've been hearing a lot about the controversial Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP as it's being called. That's a trade agreement President Obama is negotiating. The 12-nation trade deal would create a free trade zone stretching from Japan to Chile, and that includes about 40% of the world's economy. And because of the secretive nature of the negotiations, it's unclear just how the deal will affect businesses here in California. But one group that's already calling foul: apparel manufacturers in Los Angeles. KPCC's Ben Bergman reports.
Big companies like Nike, The Gap, and Hanes love the TPP. So do groups like the U.S. Fashion Industry Association, headed by Julia Hughes.
We're looking at it as an opportunity. You know, free trade agreements are important to our sector.
After NAFTA went into effect in 1994, U.S. textile and apparel exports to Canada increased by 77% and to Mexico by more than 200%. In 2006, CAFTA went into effect with Central American countries, which helped make Honduras America's biggest source of T-shirts.
Certainly NAFTA and CAFTA have been huge success stories, and I think they certainly have proven positive throughout the industry.
For the Hanes and Gaps of the world, yes, their profits have soared as they've been able to tap into new markets while making ever cheaper clothes. But for U.S. apparel workers, the era of free trade has been devastating. Employment fell by 80% from 1990 to 2010, according to the Labor Department. Many of the remaining manufacturers are here in the L.A. area, but they haven't fared much better. From 2002 to 2012, almost 60% of those jobs disappeared in California. By focusing on the higher-end market and staying small, Karen Kane, a women's apparel company headquartered in Vernon, has survived. Inside a sprawling warehouse, a seamstress sews the final threads of a tank top, the kind of labor-intensive single needlework that most companies now outsource. The company's CEO, Lonnie Kane, actually supported NAFTA in the 90s. He hoped it would open up doors to Mexico, but it never panned out.
Yes, to a degree, it was disappointing, but this is business, and you know, you play the cards you're dealt.
Since the company makes nearly all its goods domestically, Kane says the TPP won't help. Who it will benefit are Asian manufacturers and importers. China, the number one exporter by far, isn't in the agreement, but Vietnam, which accounts for 10% of U.S. apparel imports, is. Right now, companies there pay up to 32% tariffs on goods entering the U.S. Under the TPP, that could be gone, giving those who outsource an advantage over people like Kane.
They're going to bring in goods cheaper, and it'll be a little bit harder for me to compete against them.
The Congressional Research Service agrees. In a report last year, the nonpartisan think tank warned the TPP could increase competition for Western manufacturers and reduce demand for U.S. textile exports. Elsa Metchek, the longtime head of the California Fashion Association, says she's baffled by politicians in Washington who don't seem to care about apparel jobs.
What we do now is import at least 90% of what we ship that used to be made in the United States. The footwear industry has completely left this country. If they want apparel gone, they're working on it.
Metchek predicts Southern California's apparel manufacturing industry will shrink an additional 20% if the TPP goes into effect. But Julia Hughes, her counterpart in Washington, says that's much too pessimistic.
We don't see it the same way, I guess.
Hughes says free trade agreements can't be blamed for the loss of apparel manufacturing jobs. Instead of sewing, American workers are doing more high-skilled work, like designing and marketing. And she says that's a good thing for our economy overall.
You know, in my family, folks worked in the mills in New England making sweaters. My father didn't do that, and I don't do that.
Just about the only thing everyone agrees on is they need to see the final text of the TPP to know exactly how things will shake out. Richard Wortman is a lawyer who represents importers and exporters.
I think in the end, the devil is going to be in the details. We still don't know what the details of the agreement will be.
Which will be determined as President Obama now hammers out the final deal with the 11 other countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. For the California Report, I'm Ben Bergman in Los Angeles.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, July 1st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queenie Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Barracuda Networks, innovators of network security and data protection solutions designed to thwart cyber threats and data loss for businesses of all sizes. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.